I went through the collapse of my country, Soviet Union, you know, and it took a number of years before you begin to say, ah, okay, here was the reason, here is the rational thinking. Some people didn't do it. Some people, I know people among my circle, some committed suicide. They couldn't leave, you know. So it's a very heavy psychological problem. And as I already stated, and it has a very serious material, so to speak, manifestation, if you wish, when, as I just spoke, those people got used to live based on the system. They attend their, they have their salaries, they have their mortgages, they attend certain clubs or golf clubs, they drink certain type of expensive scotch, and suddenly all this, what their careers were built upon, and whatever other things, you know, in their personal lives, apart from their biases, for example, many of them, they have, visceral hatred towards Russians. Many of them, out of those people, they have, they view Russians as genetically inferior and subhumans. It's also, this element is also present there. Suddenly, what do you do? Well, look at Nazi Germany. Many of them, they didn't believe also many things until they were started to be paraded through the movie theaters, you know, to show the documentaries about what has been transpiring in, for example, concentration camps. And they wouldn't believe it. So same here. They bought their own propaganda. And when you have nothing but verbiage, the only thing they are capable of is shaking the air. Like this Hoffman guy, he comes out on another pathetic, you know, news organization like Fox, which is nothing more than propaganda of the, well, it's neocons essentially. And so they speak, they think that because they speak, it's going to change something. It's a magical thinking. It was always there. But after the collapse of the Soviet Union, they by chance received this, you know, what confirmation of their magical thinking. That, oh my God, what we thought, look, it happened. This evil empire collapsed and things like that. Okay, but did you ask a question why it collapsed? No. Very few people really started talking about it. As a result, they have been convinced for the last 30 years that America is Mr. Obama's state, is finest fighting force in history. Obviously, Zhukov, Manstein, and you know what, Roman Legion commanders were spinning. Napoleon probably, you know, went completely ballistic from his, you know. And you look at this, it's a comfortable world. Let me tell you, it's a very comfortable world to live in. When you pat yourself every day on the back and say, oh my God, look at us, we're good. I feel good about myself. And then suddenly everything you knew about it is gone. What do you expect? Obviously. And it's like Ben Hodges. I mean, he is a meme in Russia. People downright laugh at him. And yet, this was the guy who was Supreme Commander. So was Breedlove. So were all those American generals. They are laughed at. This is the worst kind of humiliation. And as a result, the system is rigged such a way that until we get here in the United States, new generation of the politicians who are independent, who come in with the idea of serving the country, if we have the time for that to happen. But establishment, yeah, they are incompetent, they're corrupt, and as a result, we have what we have. And they will continue to do this. At least United States is safe for now. If it doesn't go into the, you know, nuclear confrontation with Russia, it should be fine. But Europe, it's even worse than that, because Europe, unlike Americans, they always had this hatred of Russian, majority of the societies. Not all. I'm not saying that 100%. No. But majority of Europeans, they hated Russians all the time. Do not forget, these were Europeans who were killing Russians for 1,000 years. And Russians have finally said, enough is enough. We're done with you. Go and die. If you rot tomorrow or you have the, you know, dying from hunger, it's your business. None of our business. Just iron curtain and that's it.
And now then we're in danger of inadvertently making a new one here, I think, just by virtue of the death of Ukraine in between us. And that is being facilitated in large measure by the Ukrainian leader, Volodymyr Zelensky, who wants to now try to say, look, I know 19 rounds of sanctions plus those from Donald Trump have not succeeded. But you know what? Number 20 will.
В сьогоднішніх указах по санкціях політичні персони, російські урядовці, які працюють на окупацію. пропагандисти різного штибу, які виправдовують Путіна, які намагаються нормалізувати війну та нормалізувати окупацію. І також ми відправляємо під санкції колаборантів та кожного, хто працює на російську машину війни. Багато було вже намагань Росії брехати світу про те, що відбувається. Багато було намагань зірвати процеси зі Сполученими Штатами Америки, з Європи. На все своя реакція, свої санкції. Готуємо разом з партнерами в Євросоюзі вже 20-й пакет санкцій. Ми очікуємо протягом місяця підготовку змісту цього пакету і пропонуємо додати 20-й пакет санкцій Євросоюзу російських юридичних та фізичних осіб, які ще заробляють на енергоресурсах.
So, you know what? I mean, I'm not lying to you. You're lying to me. Russians lying. It's not me lying, even though what the Russians said actually lines up on the battlefield. But don't worry about that. Just listen to me. And we do.
Yeah. Russia's got a joke now. The 20th package of sanctions in Europe will involve ban on walking by Russians 19 previous ones. And so it's this is exactly, I don't know. It's like I need to interpret the madman, you know, that what he lives in his, well, he is afraid, of course, for his life, no doubt about it. And he knows that he's probably a dead man walking. But I mean, he is, let him go to Capitol Hill, befriend more people like Lindsey Graham. He will find the understanding there. They love Nazis. As long as anybody kills Russians, they are, will love it, you know. So those are genocidal maniacs there, and he is the same thing. But obviously, as I already stated, even the tactical minutia, forget about operations, forget about movement of divisions, you know, corps and what is done, and it's not about the territory, albeit obviously, today Russians involved into yet another penetration of the Kharkov area, so, and it's deep, and it will continue. But Russians don't need those territories, as has been stated many times. There will be buffer zone, that no doubt about it. But it's not territories that Russians want to take on its balance, so to speak, enough those four regions. And so, I don't know, you know, it's like, yeah, trying to interpret what the madman with the really, I mean, inflamed mind tries to project. But you know what? They love him in Western media, so let him them continue to love him. Meanwhile, as I already stated, just on the tactical level, you see an unbelievable slaughter. Just today, in the morning, yet another attempt by, and again, when they say offensive, I understand those people in media, Western media, they have no clue about warfare. They're militarily illiterate, but offensive is actually operation. And they talk about attacks because they cannot master more than a battalion one at a time, really. So they throw in those people. First, you know, DRG goes in, killed 10 of them, done within 20 minutes. The best of the best, you know, special forces. Then they throw another 20. Well, guess what? Out of those 20, 15 are killed immediately. Some are wounded, left on the battlefield. And that happens everywhere. Russians are really satisfied with the fact that their planning is such that they don't need to go further. As Alexander Svechin stated, is the capturing of the territory is a necessary evil when it compared to the main political objective of the physical annihilation of the force of the enemy. And so that's what many people do not understand, that it is all about killing. I'm sorry, that's what war is. You kill people there. There's no, you know, dilly-dally stuff there. And Russians have been very good at killing them, and they will continue to kill them until they literally ran out of the last Ukrainian. And if you look attentively at the, what even POWs say there, they, as already stated, well, today already Mirnograd completely surrounded and Russians are deep into Mirnograd. Forget about Pokrovsk. It's pretty much basically finishing mopping up operations because they need to go to every single cellar, every single basement, every single civilian house where they hide and literally extricate them from there. Well, that's what mopping up is. And so the same goes with Kupiansk. In the morning, there were attempts on relieving the force. Guess what? All killed. So now they cosplaying Luftwaffe of 1942, winter 1942, December 1942, trying to relieve the surrounded six and element of the fourth army of Paulus at Stalingrad. And Luftwaffe at that time had the loading capacity. They still couldn't deliver 600 tons required for the existence or basic needs of those armies. Well, they're trying to use drones with the loading capacity of 15 kilograms to drop some supplies there. Obviously, most of those drones are shut down, and this is like ridiculous. But they do believe that many of them that, as you stated, a little bit more, another million of Ukrainians dead and Russia will collapse. You cannot explain to those people, especially with the degrees with economics from Ivy League, that what they know about economics is primarily Wall Street BS. They don't understand what real economy, which sits on the third of the world resources in everything.
You mentioned just a second ago the Kharkiv area.
To rare earth metals, to everything. They don't understand this. Russia is the only, United States, tentatively with the Canada, could be the second one, but Russia is the only country which can go full autarky and be all right. But those people don't understand that. They believe in all those stories. They believe that somehow, Elon Musk produces $1 trillion or something. So it's a joke. They became a joke, and they are laughed at by all professionals around the world. But what can I say? If they want to kill more people, Russians will oblige.
Well, then, that's what I wanted. Everybody's been talking about, Kupiansk and Pokrovsk and Mirnograd, which we showed a second ago. But you mentioned a second ago Kharkiv area. And we can see here just in the last little bit of time, there's been more and more Russian red that's put up in here. Yeah. A little bit up in this normal here. Volchansk is moving a little bit further south. What's going on in the Kharkiv area? And should Ukraine be more concerned about that?
Because they do have around Kharkov, they still have a little bit of the forests around Kharkov. If you look attentively, the rest of it is primarily fields with all those crisscrossing of the so-called, constant hamlets and strips of the forest. Russians are creating there the same as in Sumy area, their buffer zone. The zone which allows you to control actually deeper into the territory or any kind of the terrorist or activity, for example, connected to launching something like HIMARS or until all of them are completely destroyed. So that's what is happening. Buffer zone. Russians are not very interested in taking those territories now. They are interested in pushing basically their control zone further inside Ukrainian territory, fix their positions there, and thus making life in the immediate border regions of, for example, Belgorod Oblast and more livable, so to speak. And that's what is happening. It's a buffer zone, cordon sanitaire, if you wish, and it will expand, obviously. So,
and what about in the air? Because the other that's all the tactical front line, but the Russian air campaign has just been merciless and has really been having more and more effect, even in Kiev, Lvov, and several other major cities, Dnipropetrovsk, some of the other cities in Poltava, etc. What is the Russian expectation? If they're trying to just kill people on the front lines, what is the objective of the air campaign?
Deny the power generating capacity of Ukraine, because primarily most of the industrial objects which have been able to produce some kind of the military hardware, not sophisticated one, not something like which is really capable of doing something, but at least from small arms to repairing the armor, whatever they can salvage and things of this nature, they have been destroyed, including, as I already stated, the key telltale sign was when Russians touched, which they didn't before, they touched a couple months ago, Motor Siege, because it was the key industrial plant which was producing Ivchenko famous jet turbines. Chinese wanted to buy it. So Russians a couple months ago said, oh, okay, enough is enough. And off they went with Kinzhal and Iskanders, and it's gone now. And so the same happening now with power generating capability. Do not forget that this power generating capability, which is primarily the remnants, it's what Soviet Union left Ukraine, was designed for 52 million people. In 1990s, when the industrially Ukraine, as it was left in 1990s by Soviet Union and Soviet Russia, if you wish, was a very industrially developed country. Now, obviously, we have the excessive capacity, power generating capacity, because obviously Ukraine has now halved its population, essentially. Probably the most they have now is 25 million people. So this excessive capacity is being destroyed, and it's going to be continued to be destroying until only minuscule amounts or number of capacity left for the future, whatever they will be. They will be, if Ukraine is preserved in any shape, it will be agrarian country with no army. And yeah, you don't need much capacity. And that's what is happening, that full total demolition of the war economy, which was in Ukraine since the collapse of the Soviet Union. And that will continue. And even the Ukrenergo, Central Energo, however they call it now, stated about 5 days ago, it's behonches, they stated another 3-4 nights like this, and there will be no power generating capacity in Ukraine left. That means the lights are off forever.
And what effect might this have on the front line? Is this possible to cause a collapse on the front line as well?
I mean, Russians move slowly. They are really not into this yet. I mean, there are some significant, obviously, penetrations, but yes, it will, because obviously, as already stated, you can take a look at some videos. They use now steam engines because they cannot use, first, they have a very limited park of the diesel engines. There was a number of their railroads, which are the key for the supply of all kinds of those forces. For example, if you take a look at Kupiansk and Kavsharovka, it's a huge railroad, basically, hub there, you know? So then suddenly, they have a very limited number of their diesel engines. And all those, not only grid, which powers your electric trains, which are critical, and the stations, which are called the tyagovy station, which are thrust stations, because you don't just have this, continuous line. You have to have the intermediate power stations, which are called thrust stations, which provide the, feed for the some specific sectors of the electric trains. It's pretty much gone now. And suddenly, you have a very limited maneuver capacity in terms of the diesel engines, which you have very few, because Ukraine was the most electrified railroad system in the Soviet Union. And then now, as I already stated, they use, like Vinnytsia, you can take a look, they use steam engines because they have nothing to, nothing left. And obviously, that goes to basically paralyze, which is already happening, any kind of the logistics in the operational and strategic rear for Ukraine. And yes, that's the other thing, So basically, their troops at the front line being isolated from the last remaining supply lines which they had, because you cannot do much with the, especially the so-called roads. And if you take a look at Ansari, they try to put those nets, anti-drone nets, they do not help really much. And obviously, any movement of the automobiles, any kind, including the trucks, immediately gone, destroyed. So there you go. And that's pretty much cutting off their last, umbilical cord to any kind of the supplies.
So it just doesn't seem like, I mean, just mathematically that Ukraine can just continue to go on just too much longer. I mean, we're nearing the 4-year mark, and a lot of people, me being one of them, didn't really think it could have gone this long without Ukraine collapsing. But I mean, there does have to come a point mathematically that the Ukraine side just can't maintain the continuity, whether it's at the strategic level or at the frontline level? How do you see it playing out? Let's say through the winter.
It's probably will continue the same. And let's be very honest. And I know it sounds horrible, and it is horrible. Make no mistake. I'm not some fanboy, you know, sitting there and, you know, just literally, oh, my God, look at those explosions. But truth is, for Russia, after what had happened, and obviously Western media do not report on that. For example, what happens to Russian prisoners of war, what happens to Russian civilians, hostages, what they do to them. You know, so Russians, majority of Russians, do not feel any kind of brotherly feelings towards these people. Mm-hmm. And so as you correctly stated, Russians are very content with the situation when they bring more cannon fodder and they kill it. Because we know now that the kill ratio is catastrophic, 1 to 25 to 30. So this is the result of the long-range fires, overwhelming dominance, and inability to really manage resources anymore. So it will continue as long as it takes until, and you know what, it's now going around Russia in a very open manner. You wanted to fight it to the last Ukrainian? Well, do it. There will be last Ukrainian. So when they will decide to do something about inside Kyiv, nobody cares anymore in Russia. Honestly,
so you know, even if it took years.
So yeah, it's until it will be the barren land with no male population which can procreate. Because I repeat it again and again. Many people think, oh yeah, he's so cynical. No, I'm not cynical, and I know how horrifying it sounds. Russia is in the business of basically killing the rest of the sperm bank of Ukrainian men. Simple as that. Because their betrayal, many people do not understand metaphysical and cultural issue here between Russians and Ukrainians. Russians do not view Ukrainians as brotherly people anymore. That's the whole thing. Putin obviously cannot say, you know, cannot come out or Lavrov and say, oh no, yeah, we're gonna kill them all and we don't care. He said he have to go out, he have to massage public opinion that, yeah, for us it is the tragedy. In some sense it is the tragedy, but there is no pity or sympathy anymore to Ukraine because their level of betrayal.
Yeah.
And especially
nevertheless, they, at least according to Lavrov today, they would still stop the killing in the event that sanity returned to the Ukrainian leaders and they stopped the war.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's no problem. You know, but before, unless it happens, the machine continues to work. And this is the thing which evidently Rubio has to understand and put into his little mind of the lawyer from Florida and errand boy for Miriam Adelson, that this is out of his league. He cannot grasp those things. Neither can CIA, evidently, because these guys are, their level of expertise is, you know, killing some political leader or false flag. Reality is they never saw anything like this. They really don't have reference point. They do not understand what is happening. This is the largest war in Europe since World War II. And I am on record. We are witnessing the last salvos of the World War II. Simple as that.
Well, we are unfortunately witnessing a lot of ugly things, and we're going to continue to watch it. And as always, even when the answers are not really pleasant, we always appreciate you coming on and telling it like it is. So thank you very much for coming on today.
My pleasure, Danny. Anytime.
And just direct people to Smoothie X12, where you don't have to wait every week for Andre to be on our show. You can go and check him out, and there's quite a few things he's got on there right now. So Smoothie X12 on YouTube, and you can find Andre there. Thank you very much, folks, for being with us today. We got one more show for you today. We're going to look on a domestic case here. I think it's listed at 3:30. We're probably going to push that to 3:45, get us a little bit more time to get ready. And there's a potential shutdown deal for this horrible and this really embarrassing and ugly shutdown that's going on. It's great for politicians, really, from both sides, but it's awful for Americans, no matter how the thing works out. We're going to show you why today at 3:45 p.m. Join us then, and I'll tell you why on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.